Amen.
All right.
We haven't had no fellowship yet, so Miss Desi, come on and play, and we're going to have a little time. Now, they're going to go back there and work on that. Look, I know that's a little rough, but you, by next Friday night, it's going to be right. Got a long way to go, short time to get there. Let's stand. Everybody turn around and be friendly. Friendly, friendly, friendly. Turn around, fellowship there.
Evening, we're getting ready to give. Getting ready to give in honor of the Lord. Let's give in honor of the Lord tonight. And if you didn't get your money in Sunday, good time to do it tonight. Let's do what we're supposed to, do the right thing, and do what the Lord would have us to do. And, you know, of course, we've got a lot of expense with our bus route, and we're doing work on them now, getting a transmission rebuilt, and all kind of good stuff happening right now. So that's a blessing. Let's honor the Lord tonight and give. Everybody give like you're supposed to. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. Thank you so much for all you've done for us. We pray you'll have mercy upon us. Forgive us of all of our sins. Bless now this little time of fellowship and centering around the Word of God. I pray that you'd help us tonight. Help us to be a blessing. Get a blessing. And we'll thank you for it. Bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Else been to go about our Friday night is our all-night prayer meeting, and we're excited about it. That's not something always that your flesh might want to do, is stay up and pray a long time, but there's great reward and to those that'll pray. Nothing ever happens. Excuse me. I'll try to get this on here. There we go. Nothing ever happens of lasting value in the work of God without people praying. You might have a little emotional stir. You might have a big time, as we call it. And you might have a big hoot and hollering, and there's nothing wrong with that. But nothing of lasting value ever happens if people don't pray. I got saved that revival that night. And it still ain't wore off. It still ain't wore off. And I'm telling you, that was a long time ago. So in answer to prayer, it ain't me. I mean, I ain't nothing. I'm just a sorry, no good sinner. It's us praying and God getting the job done. So let's pray hard. Friday night, 9 o'clock. If you can't stay long, stay a little while. If you can stay half the time, come and stay half the time. There ain't no, there's nothing, you know, there ain't no rules that you have to stay so long. It's an all-night prayer meeting. We'll be staying to the early hours of the morning and just praying. We'll pray a while and sing a while, preach a while and pray a while and sing a while. What we're doing is we're just trying to get that good, sweet spirit in here for the youth rally. And he was here Sunday. The Lord was here Sunday. Yeah. Buddy, I'm telling you what, he's here Sunday in power. And so praise God for it. Let's really pray. And then I want to mention to you also, y'all, this Saturday we got these youth rally flyers here for the bus workers, the little ones, for the bus route Saturday, right down here on the table. And you want to talk about that Cops for Christ, and you want to talk about the youth rally, of course. We are going to run our buses on both nights, Friday and Saturday night, at the youth rally. We had a meeting about the other night, and it went real good. We're going to try to have ice cream for the bus kids this Sunday, try to get a big crowd for the Cops for Christ, and then the following Sunday, youth rally, we'll be giving them all their supper free, them at Ride the Bus and providing them food, and we're just excited about it. I'm telling you what. It's it. It's here. We've waited a year for it, and it's here. Now, what I'd like to do tonight, since we only have one, this is the last Wednesday night we got with any kind of calm, so I want to take the Bible and do something that I don't think I've ever seen or heard another preacher do. I've done it before, and I'm sure they do. But what I want to do tonight is we're going to take the Bible, and I want to show you, teach you, how you deal with somebody at the altar. How does a person deal with somebody at the altar? I'm a believer that when somebody comes to the altar, it's really, really a nice Christian gesture for somebody or many to come pray with them. Don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, people come and sometimes they feel embarrassed or something. It comforts them for somebody to come pray with them. Now, let's take our Bible, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 8, and let's look and see what the Bible says about this thing. Acts chapter 8. Ring a little bit, Brother Mike. Acts chapter 8. There's a man going down the road in a chariot. And this man's reading the Bible, but he can't understand it. And his preacher gets in the chariot with him and explains to him the Word of God and gets saved. He literally leads that man to the Lord out there on that chariot. That's a great example of just evangelism out everywhere, everywhere. Now, these people that always preaching and teaching, I heard a guy on the radio the other day, good man, he was preaching against knocking on doors. Oh, he said, bless God, if the Lord ain't in it, you're wasting your time. And I don't find anywhere in the Bible where if you go out with a sincere heart and knock on doors, the Lord ain't in it. He's in it, brother. He's in it because you're obeying Him. He said they went everywhere, house to house, and the Lord worked with them. You know what that guy was saying? He's saying you're supposed to sit around your house and do nothing but read books by Arthur Pink or somebody and wait on the Holy Ghost to tell you to go over to somebody's house and witness to them. And that ain't the way it works. You don't have to wait on the Holy Ghost to tell you to witness somebody. He's already told you to. He's already told you to. If your daddy come to kids and say, kids, take out that trash, when I get back, you don't have to feel led. You don't have to have a feeling. You do what your daddy said. I'll admit, and I do believe, that there's some times when there is a special, somehow or another, little circumstance that God would open up a door to witness. I ain't no doubt about that. But it don't always happen that way, and you don't have to have a miracle before you witness. I know Brother Derek's been hitting on it some in Sunday school. And look here in Acts chapter 8 and look at verse 27. Acts chapter 8, verse number 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge, this is a big, smart, educated man, who had the charge of all her treasure, come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning
and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. That's Isaias. That's a Greek or the translation of the Hebrew word Isaiah. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? There it is right there. He said, somebody got to guide me. He said, I want to know. I'd like to know. I have a hunger to know. Somebody guide me. And ladies and gentlemen, there's millions of people in this world would like to know who the Lord is. But they need somebody to guide them. They need somebody to guide them. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Boy, I like it when it's like that. Don't you like it when they ask, say, will you come here and tell me what this means? Will you tell me about Jesus? I've had that happen a few times. Look here, verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. That's Isaiah 53. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch said, answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? Who's he talking about? What's the scripture mean? Of himself or some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now here's verse 37, the great verse 37, that if you have an NIV, is not in there. The NIV does not have verse 37 in it, and that's enough reason right there not to use the NIV. Your King James says, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Now you work with people that think we're ridiculous for believing just the King James Bible, and you work with people that say, well, my pastor's a doctor, and he uses the NIV. Well, you ask them why it ain't got verse 37 in it. How many of you, anybody here got a Scofield Bible? A Scofield Bible reference. Okay, look at the reference there in the middle, and it tells you it ain't supposed to be in there. It said it's probably been inserted or some crazy thing like that, the note on verse 37. Not in the older manuscript. Well, I'm glad it's in there. Philip, say it. Yeah. The best authorities omit verse 37. Really? The best authorities omit verse 37. If I believed that, I'd scratch it out of my Bible. I'd take a marker and mark it out. If I believed it wasn't supposed to be in there, I'd mark it out. And you'd be surprised that the preachers preach that book right there every Sunday and don't believe that verse is supposed to be in there. You know what you call that? Hypocrisy. Amen? When a preacher stands up and say, we believe the Bible, 9 out of 10 of them is talking about the original manuscripts that you can't even see or read or touch. They ain't talking about this one. They don't believe any Bible is present tense inspired. They believe there was an inspired Bible and it got wore out and now we all got translations. That's what they believe. Most educated preachers don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. You say, well, that means they found out something, don't it? Yeah, it means we found out something. There's something wrong with education.
That's right.
Sure is. Say amen right there. Yes. Amen. That's right, brother. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Man told me one time, a bookstore said, well, all it does is change the these and thous. It don't affect no doctrine. Listen, that man got saved. That's a doctrine. It took out the plan of salvation. In Acts 8:37. Anyway, that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about this man going down the road in a chariot. And a guy's reading the Bible. Have y'all ever run into anybody like that under conviction and already been reading the Bible? Man, that's when they're ripe and ready to fall off a tree, brother. That's when you can get them. I talked to a guy one time. My sister called me and she said, Danny, you got to talk to Calvin. And old Calvin, it's old Calvin Loftus up there in Marion. He was an electrician up there for a year. And she said, Danny, you got to go talk to Calvin. Said him and Barbara was his girlfriend, and said they've been reading the Bible for 2 weeks. And he said, they've been sitting there reading the Bible, scared to death, reading Revelation. 2 weeks. And he's, oh boy, he's about 30 years old. Barbara's about 28 or 9 years old. And they were sitting there he was sweating. And I went in that night, they'd been reading the Bible every night. When you get them like that, all you got to do is just shake the limb. And I said, what's the deal? He said, man, we're scared to death. We can't understand this. I said, well, let's get saved. And they looked at each other and they looked back at me and said, we can't. And I said, why? They said, we're not married. We're just living together. And I said, well, why don't you get married? And they looked at each other like, that's a good idea. Duh. I mean, that's an option you got. You know, you don't have to go to hell. All you got to do is just get saved. And you know what they done? I took the Bible that night, and we got down the floor, and Calvin and Barbara both got saved. And they went and got married and got joined the church and got baptized all in just like a week and a half, buddy. That's a change of lifestyle. That's a change of lifestyle. I ain't kidding. They got saved, got married, joined the church, got baptized. Son, they turned around. And that's why when they're ready to fall off a tree like that, that's the way this old guy was. He's going down through here reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, go near and join yourself to that chariot. Wow. I mean, the Lord was leading him right to him. So he goes over and starts talking to him. Now, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to have a sinner come to the altar. Are there any sinners in here tonight? There's two or three. Liars, rest of them's liars. Jamie, where'd you go? Is he back yonder somewhere? Come here a minute, Jamie. You're a sinner. Now you head down the aisle. Head down the aisle with your head down. Your head ain't down. Come on. You're under conviction. Here he comes. A little faster. You're afraid you're going to die. Somebody hit him in the head with a weed eater. The weed eater got loose on you, didn't it, boy? All right. He hits the altar. All right. Jamie's hit the altar at the youth rally. Now, what are we going to do? Here's what most people do. Just as I am with, who's that? Without one plea, but that thy blood. If it's a boy, they say, look at them old nasty tennis shoes. If it's a girl, they say, looks like she pulled her shirt down. You can see her back. But that thy blood was shed for me. He can stay there from now on. Ain't nobody going to help him. What I want to do tonight, we need to have a little class here and train us up some people. Don't wait on somebody else. You know, if people get saved at the youth rally, you could lead somebody to the Lord. And if you lead somebody to the Lord, you're going to get a big reward in heaven. Y'all ought to be fighting over them. All right. I see the man go to the altar. I'm going with him. I'm going here. I'm going to put a hand on his back right here. And I'm coming to pray with you. And, of course, it's a man, pray with a man. A woman, pray with a woman. Or a girl, something like that. That would be proper. I've been in churches where men go, young girls, and hug them and everything else, and that just don't look right. So it's better for a man to go pray to the man. The Bible doesn't say you have to do it like that, but you know, I mean, my goodness, you know it's better. So let the women pray the girls and the men pray the men. All right. You getting anywhere yet down there? Now, what are we going to do when a man comes to the altar? I'm going to show you. All right, sit down here on the front row just a minute. When a person comes to the altar, there's only two kinds of people in this world, saved or lost. And you've got to find that out and deal with them. If a lost person comes to the altar, 9 times out of 10, it's to get saved. If a saved person comes to the altar, it's either to get something in their own life right or to pray for somebody else. So there's saved people, there's backslid saved people, and there's lost people. Really, three categories. If somebody comes to pray for a lost loved one, that's a legitimate reason to come to the altar. If somebody comes to get right, maybe they've been saved, and living around this part of the country, in this Bible Belt, most people that you see have made a profession of faith, been saved when they was younger, or they've never been saved. Now, so that's what you want to do. You want to start. All right? Come on. Hit the altar, Jamie. All right, he hits the altar. You know what I'm going to do? I've been to churches. I don't mean to be critical. Bless their heart. They're doing they're doing something to leave. That there'll be some men get on there. God, I pray for this young man. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Like, I'm not making fun of nobody, but my goodness, y'all. How many of you ever seen them do that? I mean, one over here hitting him on the hook. They said one guy went to the altar. Somebody's over here saying, hang on, hang on. Somebody's over here saying, let go, let go.
He don't know what he's hanging on letting go to. The night I got saved, somebody said, hang on, let go. I have no clue what they're talking about. Amen? All right, sit down. All right, now that ain't the way to do it. I've been preaching revivals, and I'd say, well, somebody please come pray this person, and they'll have two or three people come up and go like this. Oh, they ain't even helping the guy. They ain't even helping him. He don't even know they're there. So it's got to be more than that. Philip didn't do that to that eunuch. Philip went over our brother and took the scripture and showed that man how to get to Jesus. It's very simple. People don't do it because they don't even know. So, like that guy, they said that guy, this real old country guy, he's up there in the mountains. This really's happened. I said this guy, he hit the altar one night in one of them little country churches in about 100 degrees. He said, all everybody in the church piled in on top of him like the Dallas Cowboys. And they was all around there. Whoa, God, oh, God. They said, about 2 or 3 minutes of that, he said, that guy, he just busted up out of them, knocked them off like that. And he said, God or no God, I got to have some air. He's choking to death. They're choking that poor old boy to death. Y'all have some air. But you know what? That ain't the way to do it. That's the way to do it. Hang on. Kick him. Let go. Beat him in the head and everything else. But there's a proper way to do it. And that's what we'll talk about. I'm going to tell you one like you. This is one of the funniest stories I've ever heard. Most time I tell it, people don't think it's that funny. I just think it's hilarious. Billy Kelly said, he said there's some big guy that one of his churches where he used to go, he said that fellow wore a size 22 shoe. And some of them guys like Shaq, them big basketball players do. I guess some of them are bigger than that. 22 shoe, brother. That long. Big tennis shoes, that long. And he said there was a man in there at that church, he's about blind, you know, and he'd always go to the altar and pray with people. He said, one night that big old fellow went down to the altar and knelt down like that. And he said, that blind man come over there and he put his hand on that guy's 2 feet and said, Lord, bless these two little fellers. I've always thought that was a funny story. But you know what? He was trying to pray with him. He led them 2 shoes to the Lord. All right. I'm going to ask Jamie a question. Now, I'm saying what I'm saying for a reason. All right. Hit the altar again, Jamie. You know what I've seen people do? I've seen people just come to the altar and just do like this. They don't know what to do. How many of you ever seen them do that? Sometimes we say, oh, they're not really under conviction. You know, there's a lot of people that do not know. How many times y'all seen this? We've seen it here. Sometimes people will just come up here and just stand. I mean, they don't know what to do. They don't even know what. They know they need something. They know there's something there they ain't got, and they want it. So I'm going to talk to Jamie. Now, I tell you what I do now. You may not do it this way, but if he's bawling his eyes out, I just hold my hand on him and let him do business with God. I don't interrupt him when he's, you know what I mean. If he's getting down to, if he may be getting there all by himself. The night I got saved, I remember somebody put something in front of my face, but I don't remember if it was a Bible or what it was. I have no idea. It didn't have no effect on me one way or the other. The song says, tears are a language God understands. I was bawling my eyes out asking God to save me and help me, and it got done. But now everybody didn't have the background I had. Everybody don't have the training. I mean, I didn't know. Some people just kneel down. Okay, now what do I do? All right, if he's bawling his eyes out, let him cry for a minute. If he's just staring at the floor, here's what I do. I don't say Jamie. I say, hey, buddy, what's your name?
James.
James, have you ever been saved? Okay, that's the first thing I say. Have you ever been saved? Why'd I say that? Why don't I say, are you saved? I don't say, are you saved? I say, have you ever been saved? Why don't you say, are you saved? Because there's so many people that believe, no, I ain't. I used to be, but I'm not living right now. So, and they're confused in their mind. And you don't, that's why I say, have you ever been saved? When I'm witnessing somebody, I say, have you ever been saved? Because if you say, are you saved? They may be as saved as we are, but don't know it. Or don't believe it. They thought since they backslid that they ain't saved no more. So I say, Jamie, have you ever been saved? He said, no, sir. And I said, if it's all right, I won't take the Bible and show you how to get saved, Jamie. All right, I've got my Bible. Don't go to the altar to pray with somebody without your Bible. Let's take our Bible, and here's what I'm going to do. Jamie's not saved. I'm going to turn to Romans chapter 10. Lay it down right there in front of him. This is what you can do at the youth rally next week. All right? And I've got my finger on it right there. Jamie, look here what the Bible says. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, stop again. When it's slow and quiet and you got time and there's a few people, you can go through the whole Rome. You can say, do you know you're a sinner? Do you know that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? And really, when there's 400 people pushing each other and chairs getting knocked over and loud saying everything, you might have to take a little shorter route. When there's all that confusion, sometimes you can't even hear. You get down to praise, you can't even hear what you're saying because it's so loud with all them people getting saved. Last year, there was probably 150 people in the altar at the same time. People getting right and people praying with them. So I'm going to read him a scripture. You believe that, Jamie? You believe that Jesus is God's Son and He died for your sins? Well, look here at this next verse. This is verse 13. Romans 10:13, y'all. You can mark it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jamie, do you believe if you ask the Lord to save you tonight, according to that verse, that He would? Yes. If I prayed with you right now, would you ask Him? Yes. You know, I did a long time ago, and the Lord saved me. And according to that verse right there, He'll save you. And you believe that Christ died for your sins, and He's the only hope you've got for heaven. Why don't we pray? And you pray. And then I'm going to pray so He can hear me. Watch. Dear Lord, I thank You for Jamie. And I pray that You'd bless him. And I pray right now that You'd save this young man, write his name in the book of life, and help him to love You and serve You and do right. And Jamie, maybe you can just pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner.
I'm sorry for my sin.
Right now, the best way I know how.
I trust You. And You only.
As my only hope.
And
for a home in heaven.
I believe You died for me.
And now I want to live for You.
Thank You, Jesus, for saving me.
Amen. Jamie, did you mean that?
Yes, sir.
You did?
Yes, sir.
Look, according to the Bible, if you called on Him and you meant it, He saved you. Can you believe that?
Yes, sir.
If I pulled out a gun and shot you right now, where would you go?
Heaven.
Amen. All right, I ain't through with you yet. Sit back down. I'm a terrorist now. You say that all the time. You can't say that nowadays. All right, that's a simple way to deal with a lost person in the altar. Ask them, are you saved? Now, some people would disagree with helping them along in prayer. And I'm not. You don't get saved by repeating a prayer. But some people need guidance. They really, really do. They don't even know that you're supposed to trust Jesus. So you're not putting words in their mouth. I let them pray on their own first, and then I try to help them like that. Now, that's, a lot of preachers preach against that because they say, bless God, one, two, three, repeat after me. Well, it all depends on how sincere they are and if they're praying that from their heart. Y'all hot? Is it hot? I'm sweating. I ain't even preaching. It's hot in here. It sure is. 2 degrees hotter than normal. 2 degrees on that thing's a lot. All right. Now, what if he had said, yes, I've been saved, but I'm backslid. What do we do? He tells her. Get ready to write this down, because I want every one of y'all to get to lead somebody to the Lord next Saturday night or Friday night. All right? Here he goes again. I got my Bible. What's your name?
James.
James? I'm Brother Danny. Have you ever been saved, Jamie?
Yes, sir.
Why do you call yourself James? You start saying James now?
Oh, no.
Is that what you go by now?
That's what everybody calls me.
Oh, okay. Used to be somebody come here looked just like you. Named Jamie. All right. First, you've been saved, right?
Yes,
you just haven't been living, right?
Yes.
A lot of people don't know the terminology. I say, they really don't. They don't know what to say. They just know they feel something pulling them up here. All right, Jamie. You've been saved.
Yes, sir.
Let me show you what the Bible says. We're going to 1 John chapter 1, y'all. For somebody who's been saved and just come to get right. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Look here, Jamie, what this says. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what that verse says? It said, if we'll confess it, Jamie, God guarantees us that He'll forgive us. You believe that?
Yes, sir.
Whatever it is in your life that ain't right, why don't you just, let's just rededicate our life to the Lord right now, okay?
Okay.
All right. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Jamie. Lord, he's come tonight to ask You to forgive him of what he's done wrong. He's coming back to You to rededicate that life. Have Your way in his life and his heart. Dear Lord, do what ought to be done in his life. Have him get back in there and go to church, serve You and love You and do right. In Jesus' name we pray. Jamie, did you ask him to forgive you?
Yes, sir.
You believe he did?
Yes, sir.
Amen. God bless you. All right. Now, that's, I mean, you do, you know, that's a little short version. God bless you, brother. See you at church Sunday. We'll have, I guess Sean can get us our little thingamajigs done, won't you? That we'll write, fill out on people. We usually have these little cards that we put somebody's name, because there's mobs of kids there, and we don't even know who they are, and get a record of them, and that way, especially if they're bus kids, tell them who they are and how to stay in touch with them. Now, there's preachers that disagree with two things I just now did. One of them is, what was that first thing I did? Oh, yeah. That a lot of them disagree with the idea of backsliding altogether. I heard a man say one time, he said, if you'd ever dedicated your life, you wouldn't have to rededicate it. Well, that sounds good, and a bunch of Baptists shout, but the truth is, that ain't right. That ain't right. You can't tell me that sometimes we don't need to rededicate our life. It's like a man said one time they was going to renew their wedding vows. And this guy said, well, I meant mine the first time. I don't need to renew. Now, you don't have that attitude. That ain't the right attitude to have. You know, once in a while, we need to get our hearts right with God as Christians. We all do. Every one of us. We need to get right. Don't sit there and act like y'all don't ever do wrong or think wrong and act wrong and be have a little sorry, sour attitude and be a grouch and hateful to your wife or your husband. Everybody does. And sometimes you just get cold. Quit reading your Bible and laying out of church, not tithing. And you ought to just hit the altar once in a while and rededicate your life. Nothing wrong with that. I've rededicated my life 10 million times, I reckon. And don't hurt to do it again. My pastor told us, he said, if you got to go to the altar every service, you do it. That's good advice. That's good advice. I seen people say, oh Lord, I have to go again. They go to the altar every service. That's better than never going. Amen. Ain't going to hurt you. Wear your britches legs out up there if you have to. All right. So if somebody's not saved, you give them Romans 10:9 and Romans 10:13. If they are saved, you can go to 1 John 1:9. All right, help me out here. Y'all take a comment, question, because we're out of time already. Who wants to say something?
I'd just like to mention, I worked Bible way at the altar for 8 years, and Pastor Horney, when on his deathbed, said we had over 3,000 confessions of faith, and the cameras
had
come in.
Amen.
The first year I was there, I got to get trying to see how many I could lead, and I didn't act like Jesus, when he was in John 4, he established sin 5 times. I got to the point that I was establishing sin once or twice. I found after that a lot of them come back to the altar the second year.
Yeah.
And I
go,
if you don't establish sin and the blood and that Jesus is the only way,
amen.
I had trouble with them coming back.
Yeah. That's true. Sometimes those little ones like that. And basically what you're saying, and I agree with it, take your time. Don't get in such a rush. Don't say, well, there's a bunch up here, just lead it in the Lord, that in the Lord. And put some time into one little individual. If they're 7 or 8 years old, that's important to God.
I never knew what a Bible was, and Burl Ackerman spent about an hour and a half going through the scriptures a million times.
Oh, yeah.
I realized that Jesus was a mistake.
Sometimes you have to spend an hour with an adult because they're a lot dumber than kids.